retuning the autonomic nervous system and what I call the social engagement system, which is this whole neural structure that regulates the muscles of the face and head. And this is part of our evolutionary journey. That is where the muscles of the face and head became in our brainstem linked with our physiological regulation. So that if cues of safety downregulated our defenses, in a sense, contained us, made us resilient. So it's really this journey of sociality. And if we think about trauma histories, or we think in terms of autistic spectrum or behavioral problems in the classroom, they're not so, there's an asociality to those experiences. And this really kind of gives another explanation. It's really, to me, it's remarkable for me to see these rapid changes and seeing, in a sense, when you see someone be functionally transformed in a few hours, you say, how could that happen? Because what happens, you see the face change, the voice change, and suddenly they're spontaneously engaging another person. And you're trying to figure out how, well, where did this come from, especially when someone carries a diagnosis of autism? Where did this come from? Why would the person lean over to me and say, hello, Dr. Porges? Why would they do that when 3 days before they did this? You know, it's like, because the nervous system now became safe. And now the spontaneous attributes of our nervous system could now be expressed. And this is why I have this optimistic viewpoint of optimizing whatever we have. And when I'm really saying this, we're not curing autism. We're enabling people who have that diagnosis to be more resilient and more socially interactive. Autism is a good one to kind of think about for a moment, because the diagnosis is a powerful lifelong diagnosis. Yet the features are all behavioral used for the diagnosis. So we know that the endpoint we can see it in the face and the behavior, but we don't know the underlying causal pathway. And the issue is, what happens when we change autonomic state? What happens to the features? How many of the features, in a sense, disappear? And for some, diagnosis disappears. But that doesn't mean we've cured autism. It means that the features that we've used to define autism may be much more fluid and plastic than we think. And then we can even overlap that with the world of trauma, because we now end with foster children, which gives us another pathway, that is children who come out of environments where they don't even have mental images of being safe in their home. And so you see the bodies of these children as being very reactive. Well, you see the bodies of autistic children being very reactive. It doesn't mean that autism comes out of abuse and trauma, but autism carries with it this retuned autonomic nervous system. And the question is, forgetting about the causal pathway, can you retune that autonomic nervous system and optimize the potential of that individual? How do you convince a nervous system that it can trust those around it? And when you're dealing in the world of addiction and you're dealing in the world of trauma, it's proximity and the primacy of life threat to that organism that is disrupting it. And now we have to navigate with that first by taking away the cues that could elicit that or trigger that, and respectfully transmitting sufficient cues to get the system to try it out for a while, that this is safe. And the other thing that I find really interesting is that the sensory component is a major part of that diagnosis now. And I think the sensory component has flexibility, and that's where I would like to be helpful with.
Welcome to the 2021 Radical Recovery Summit, presented by the Killaby Center for Recovery. This is Lynn Fraser, your moderator. This year, our theme is Feel It, Heal It, a new paradigm of recovery, featuring a diverse group of thought leaders and innovators, people who are working on the ground in the new field of addiction recovery. Go to radicalrecoverysummit.com to sign up and watch free.